Our message today is taken from the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. In the compass of 7 verses, we have a wonderful scene put before us. Once again, we consider one of the miracles that the Lord Jesus did when he was here on earth. This is the 5th one recorded by John that we wish to look into today. The whole scene of this miracle is very suggestive of many, many things. Of course, when we read Scripture, we remember that it has a primary interpretation, and no doubt the primary interpretation here is to Israel as a nation, which in a coming day will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah and be brought to blessing in their land. However, as with all Scripture, it has many applications. And one application, I believe, which we can have for ourselves is the application of the gospel story in this wondrous miracle of Jesus coming to the disciples in the dark. They are at a distance from him, they're in danger, and he, being received by them, immediately brings relief, brings blessing, and we find them at their destination. This, beloved friend, is the purpose for sending out the gospel message, that we might be brought in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ and take him on board, that we might have him as captain of our lives, captain of our salvation, Lord in our hearts, reigning supreme. I trust that you will get your Bible and turn as we look at the various points as they are brought before us in these verses. First of all, we want to notice that the Lord Jesus is put before us as having departed from the disciples and gone into a mountain himself alone. Undoubtedly, this suggests to us the present place that the Lord Jesus Christ occupies in the glory. As has been read to us from Hebrews chapter 1, when he had by himself purged our sins, he set himself down at the right hand of the majesty of the throne on high. And that's where Jesus is and has been for the last 1900 and some years. The man Christ Jesus, with body and of flesh and bones, bearing the wounds that he had put upon him at Calvary. There he is in the glory, the man Christ Jesus. He lives, but he is not unaware of what is going on down here. His eyes are full of compassion. But we want to draw our attention to what is going on down below on the Sea of Galilee, for that's where the disciples are found. In the even, the disciples went down to the ship. They entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. Every single one of us is pictured here as those who are in a ship, as it were, going across the sea of time. We are all travelers. We're traveling through time, and we are all going into eternity. There's not a single one who is not a traveler in time. Where are we traveling? That is the question. The destiny that is before us is either heaven or hell. God in his mercy would have us turn our thoughts to our destiny, would have us realize that we are traveling, and that soon the journey is to end. You'll notice that on this journey, that they encounter the darkness. We read that it was now dark. Darkness is the condition that sin has produced. It is that which has produced the unbelief and the lack of understanding. It's what the Bible says, which is true of all men in sin. They're in the dark. In Romans 3, we read that they do not understand. They do not know the way of peace. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, no, not one. This is true of all men. And why is it that men do not understand the issues of eternity? That they do not understand and see the value that there is in Christ and his salvation, nor their need of it? It is because of sin. Sin blinds the eyes. It darkens the understanding. And the disciples being on the sea in the dark, picture for us our condition as being in sin. And we read in John chapter 3 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. How true this is. We see it on every hand. It is what sin has produced. Also, the darkness suggests to us the fact that the Lord is not here. He, the light of the world, has ascended to the glory, and it is the night time of his absence. Yes, this day of grace is the night time of the absence of Christ. Secondly, we want to notice that in connection with the disciples, their condition, that Jesus was not come to them. That is, there was a distance between them and the Lord Jesus. This is so of every unsaved soul, everyone who has not been born again. Everyone born into this world on the sea of time is born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and everyone thus does not know the Lord Jesus and is at a distance from him. The distance is caused by sin as well as the darkness. Distance away from God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. This is what sin has caused. Men have run away from God. Men do not want God. And hence, their sins have separated men from God. So we see not only the dark and the distance, but another thing in verse 18 shows us that there is danger. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Men do not realize it, but the condition that they are in away from God is one of imminent danger. One does not know the danger on every hand. One is not aware of it. His eyes are blinded to it, but God would speak to us. For instance, there is a danger of death. Death on every hand, death which is so imminent, so close at hand. Men do not realize it. God would speak to us, though. He would tell us of the uncertainty of life and how the fact that we cannot claim that we're going to be here tomorrow. No man knows the day of his death. And death, beloved friends, is that which confronts us. And death is that which ushers us into eternity, either into eternity of bliss or into eternity of woe. Yes, there's danger of death. Then there's danger also on the hand of the Lord himself has said he's going to come. The personal coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the air, to call to himself his blood-bought people, to raise the dead, the believing dead, to change the living saints. That will close the day of grace. There's danger for you if you are not saved, that you are not ready for Jesus' coming. And if so, his coming for the church will close the door of salvation for you. There's danger and delay. God says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. His Spirit also will not strive always with men. There's danger in the Spirit of God ceasing to strive with you. But if you are listening today to the message of the gospel and your heart is touched to realize your need, oh, the Spirit of God is still striving with you, and he would desire that you would turn your attention to the one who alone can save you and make you realize that there's danger in delay. Yes, we read, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There are many souls who will spend eternity in the lake of fire because they neglected the great salvation of God. You may not just simply reject it. You may think that you are neutral about it, but you are not neutral. You are either for or against Christ. But if you neglect to put your trust in him in time, then the danger will overcome you, and you shall perish in your sins. But I want you to notice now that though there is danger, and though the waves do beat high, and the wind blows, and they are in a precarious position, yet it speaks to us of the fact that God allows circumstances in this world to come into our lives that it would turn us to think of eternity. A man told me not too long ago that if he hadn't have been sick, he wouldn't have thought of the Lord Jesus Christ and the need of his soul. Is that true with a listener that is hearing my voice today? Has some tragedy occurred in your life? Has some sickness overtaken you? Has death entered your home? Have you had financial reverses? Are you feeling trouble and trial, and you wonder why? Look, have you ever stopped to think that God has allowed this to speak to your soul? And he would direct you to the fact that There is an eternity to be thought of. You have a soul that is to be saved. And he would awaken you to that need before it is eternally too late. But now, you notice, in verse 19 we read, when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Ah, now notice, in the midst of their danger, they make a wonderful discovery. And the Lord Jesus wants that you should discover him. He is at hand. He is made known to us in his word. The preaching of the gospel is that which sets the Lord Jesus forth for your acceptance, that you might discover him. You notice where we see him? He's walking on the sea. In this we see that he's more than man. The very name that he bears, Jesus, suggests that he is Jehovah the Savior. Jehovah, God himself, the self-existing one, the one who ever was, has come in the form of man, taken up manhood, and that he might by his own love and grace give himself a sacrifice for men, that we might live, that we might be saved. But see him walking on the sea. This is a miracle. And God himself has performed this miracle to show to these disciples that they were dealing with one who was omniscient and omnipotent, the one who had power over creation, and the one who had power to meet their needs. They see him coming near to them, and not only do they see in this his power to walk on the waves, but they see also his desire to be near them. Do we need any more proof of the love of the Lord than to realize that he came into the world to save us? He came all the way from glory, right down where we were to our need, on the stormy sea of time. The Savior entered time at Bethlehem. He came as a little babe and growing up amongst men. He knows what sorest trials are. He has felt the same. He knows the boisterous wind. He knows all the circumstances. But he is above them, beloved, and he only uses them to accomplish blessing, and he wants to accomplish blessing to you. He wants to draw nigh to you. He's just as near as you let him be, just as near as you will see him to be. I trust that you make the discovery today that Jesus is at hand through his precious word to be received. And so they see him. At first they are afraid. Dread fills their heart. Well, you know, this is a good thing. Because we read in the Bible that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is said of men who are without Christ that there is no fear of God before their eyes. And isn't this characteristic of the world at large? And if God has begun to work a sense of fear in your heart because you're going to have to meet him, thank God for it. Meet him you must. Thank God you can meet him today. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and also the beginning of knowledge. They're afraid. But you notice, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to them with a word of assurance and salvation. He says, "It is I, be not afraid." The Lord would reveal himself to you as the one who has power to save. Love that brought him here led him to the cross to accomplish redemption. And he has, through his death and resurrection at Calvary, brought life and light to the gospel. And he wants to dispel your darkness that you are in. And through his shedding of his precious blood, he has produced that which enables us to draw near to him. We are made nigh, and the distance is bridged. His blood is that which removes what creates the distance between you and God. There's no distance when we trust in Christ. The blood of Christ, when we believe on him, removes our sins, and we are brought to God. We are brought nigh, we read in Ephesians, by the precious blood of Christ. Is there any wonder he says, "Be not afraid"? And furthermore, this blessed one who says, "It is I," is the one who said on the cross, "It is finished." That word of triumph that he uttered, when he gave himself to put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself, he finished the work, and he is able now to speak peace to you on the basis of his finished work and say, "It is I, be not afraid." You need not be afraid of your sins, because Jesus died to put them away, and the moment you trust in him, he puts them away. You need not be afraid of hell, because Jesus will deliver from hell all who trust in him and his precious work. But I want you to notice, you must make a decision. We read in verse 21, "Then they willingly received him into the ship." God isn't asking you to give up your sins. He's not asking you to give up anything. He's asking that you feel your need, and he's asking that you receive his Son into your heart and into your life. The disciples here show us how the blessing is received. They willingly received him into the ship. You have a will. You can will to receive Jesus. You can have a will to reject him. It is up to you. The Lord Jesus would desire that you would receive him willingly right this moment. If you do so, he will enter into your heart and into your life. And the result is this, that they are at their desired destination. Immediately, we read, they are at the destination, the land, whither they went. Immediately, upon receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in John 1, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." In that moment, your deliverance is secured for you. Your destiny is sure. Heaven, then, is the land to which you are going. Heaven is the home, the heavenly home. H for heavenly. O, open for anyone. M, make it personal. My home. And E, eternal. That is the paradise of God. That's the Father's house. All this love has accomplished. It was love that brought the Savior here. It was love that led him to give his life at Calvary. It's love that leads him to come to you now in the preaching of the gospel, and the Spirit of God would present him to you for your acceptance. Will you receive him into your heart, into your life? As the disciples, they willingly received him into the ship. Take him now, and you will find out that love will meet all your needs the rest of your journey across the sea of time, and love will finally take you into the presence of God, where you will dwell with Christ forever. Death for the Christian is simply going into his presence to be with Christ, which is far better. And also it gives us then the assurance that when Jesus does come, and he may come today, he will take us home to be with himself.